The Scottish playwright J.M. Barrie wrote the now classic adventure tale of Peter Pan as a play for children in 1904. He transformed it into a novel in 1911. The story has spawned dozens of literary, theatrical, film and TV adaptations and incarnations, among them a 1953 Disney animated film, a 1954 Broadway musical starring Mary Martin, which was filmed for television, filmmaker Steven Spielberg's 1991 live-action sequel, Hook, and recently, Peter and the Starcatchers, a prequel based on a novel by Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson, which opened on Broadway last month. The critically acclaimed contemporary choreographer Trey McIntyre set the story to dance in 2002 when his full-length work premiered with the Houston Ballet. Now, as Pennsylvania Ballet stages McIntyre's Peter Pan, WRTI's Susan Lewis considers the boy who wouldn't grow up and how dance recreates the magic of flight.
Ballet seems an ideal way to tell the story of a boy who can fly, and who introduces three ordinary children to an island with fairies, mermaids, and pirates. Pennsylvania Ballet artistic director Roy Kaiser says this production serves audiences of all ages. While it has exhilarating dancing and flying and even some spirited sword fighting, it goes beyond the purely lighthearted versions presented by Disney or on Broadway.
Trey did go back to the original novel, which, you know, gives it some dramatic depth, and which I think is important. I think it makes it more interesting.
I took some more obscure moments from the book and expanded upon them.
One example, says choreographer Trey McIntyre, is the notion that lost boys were infants who fell out of their carriages.
So in this story, I actually make Peter Pan one of the Darling family in the beginning. And then, you know, in the story, I explore a little bit why Captain Hook became Captain Hook. Also the dream world of Wendy and kind of why she's going on this journey in the first place.
The music of Edward Elgar suits the retelling. While Elgar and Barry lived and died within several years of one another, Elgar was born in 1857, Barry in 1860. While both, coincidentally, were honored by the realm and carried the title of Sir, Elgar did not write music specifically for Peter Pan. But in 2002, in collaboration with Neil DuPont, the resident conductor at Oregon Ballet Theater, McIntyre took selections from Elgar's suites, symphonies, marches, dances, and even from one ballet Elgar wrote, The Sanguine Fan. The story, about a boy who one night appears in the bedroom of the children of the Darling family, teaches them to fly and leads them to a place called Neverland, where they meet pirates, Indians, and a gang of lost boys, has been captivating audiences since its first staging in London. Associate Professor of English at Temple University, Richard Beards, says the success of the 1904 play ignited the Peter Pan phenomenon.
It was so popular that audiences insisted and producers were happy to make it occur every Christmas. So they saw to it that their families went to it at Christmas time and took them the way today young people might go to the Nutcracker. It became a Christmas ritual.
7 years later, Barry turned the story into literature for a different audience, says Beard. The novel pokes fun at the Victorian sense of propriety and over-controlling parents. Mrs. Darling goes into her children's thoughts at night to order them for the next day. She and Mr. Darling aspire to a higher social status, but must make do with what they can afford.
He's an investment fellow, and they're doing well, but not that well. They want to be proud of their staff. They have one little girl named Liza who works for them. They refer to a single servant as servants. And of course, Nana, the dog, is what they can afford. She's not their ideal. So they're rather ashamed to have a dog as their nursemaid. But she turns out, of course, to be a good one.
Peter Pan whisks the children away from all of this to Neverland. What and where is Neverland? Pennsylvania Ballet's Evelyn Kosak, who dances the role of Wendy.
It's a little bit what I've seen of it in movies or whatever, and a little bit what I create in my mind, which is just some magical place, I guess. I feel like they're on an island and they live in a treehouse or underground.
I kind of imagine it as just kind of like a childhood paradise.
Alex Peters plays Peter Pan to Kosak's Wendy.
And there's all these places to explore and to meet these new interesting, I mean, there's like the Redskins and there's the pirates and there's the mermaids. There's all these, you know, exotic creatures, there's exotic places, and it's just expansive. I don't think there's ever a limit on where you can go or what you can do in Neverland.
While this ballet version does not include the canine nursemaid, Nana, many other characters from the familiar tale are there, from Tinkerbell to Captain Hook to the crocodile. Using lighting and special effects, scenes are designed to change seamlessly, transporting the audience from London to Neverland to Captain Hook's ship, as gracefully as a bird, or boy, in flight. Automated riggings lift the dancers, who have had to learn how, well, if not to fly, to dance in flight. And it's not as easy as it looks.
You don't have as much control of your body as you would normally. You sort of are at the mercy of the machine a little bit and where it's going to take you. So the first day was sort of adjusting to that and finding a way to make that look natural. But yeah, it's fun.
Unlike many traditional story ballets that rely on pantomime in between dance sequences, in this ballet, movement is an integrated part of the storytelling.
Whether it's Peter dancing a solo or performing a duet with Wendy or the other children, or whether he's jumping up and down on a bed, that is all combining to tell the story and propel the story forward.
I wanted to do away with a lot of the unnecessary conventions in ballet. One of the things being mime for the sake of mime. That always felt very forced to me.
In creating his choreography, McIntyre focused on what movement would fit each character. In this production, the parents, Mr. and Mrs. Darling, wear masks.
I did that to illustrate the stiffness and the rigidness not only of English society at the time, but also the separation between youthful animation and abandon to responsibility of being an adult. So the parents move with a stiffness, not so much a caricature, but more of a reserve.
Wendy and Peter, though drawn to one another, have very different personalities. Their first meeting.
It's very awkward and very aggressive. It's not very, I wouldn't call it very Disney. Peter's much more raw and wild. I mean, there's definitely ballet steps, but there's a lot of, like, sometimes I'm on all fours, and one of Peter's, in order to meet people, he actually smells them. It does kind of work, and it does create this very wild, kind of abandoned boy who doesn't really understand normal social interaction.
In contrast, Wendy's movement reflects the tension between her yearning for adventure and her proper upbringing.
I think in the beginning, she's still a child, but she's really on the verge of adulthood or coming into her own. And there's that sort of reluctance to leave childhood behind, but like a curiosity about becoming an adult.
From London to Neverland to Captain Hook's ship and back again, the characters and what they want out of life collide, their conflicts expressed in music and dance.
In the third act, towards the end of the ballet, Peter and Wendy perform a duet that incorporates some of the flying maneuvers. They're on the ground and they're in the air, but it's basically a pas de deux that the two of them dance, that some of it happens on the ground like normal dancers, and then they start to take off and go around, and Peter especially flies up and over, and but they always have a connection.
A connection despite conflict. Wendy and Peter, in Movement and Flight, wrestle with their dilemma.
As much as she loves Peter, she's not torn about what she wants in her life. I think she wants to grow up and be an adult, and that's clear for her. She's kind of playing at it, even when she's in Neverland.
He doesn't understand why anyone would want to leave Neverland.
To grow up or not to grow up and stay a child forever? That is the question. What if we had the choice? To be free from responsibility and live a life of perpetual play, or to work, to create, to participate in the world that moves around us. Perhaps we keep going back to Peter and Wendy because they represent the push and pull in all of us. If we're lucky, we get to have a little of both, each of us nurturing the inner child while embracing the adult we inevitably become. Life may march on, but using imagination, we can still dance, and sometimes even fly.
WRTI's Susan Lewis. Pennsylvania Ballet performs Trey McIntyre's Peter Pan today at noon at the Academy of Music in Philadelphia. The production runs through Sunday, May 13th.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.